Hello, Smorgasborders, and welcome to the Smorgasborder podcast once again. I'm your host, Dave Swan. Well, what the hell can you do in the safety of your own home nowadays? For one, you can sit back and listen to this podcast and dream of a surf trip to the Maldives when all of this current bullshit is over. But more than dream, we give you the deets. That's it, the details. When to go, who to go with. The answer we've found is Island Hop Holidays. Why? I had the pleasure of recently catching up with Sean Levings, the former founder and owner of World Safaris, along with his son Jai, who's been in the super yachting business, who have just launched a bespoke surf charter cruising through the Maldivian atolls. You want a memorable experience? You want personalised service? Well, it doesn't get any more personalised than this surf charter. Listen up and enjoy.
Yeah, well, I guess it's been, you know, since I was at Thomas Cook Travel, actually back in the late 80s when I got introduced to surf tourism, really. My mate did a trip up to West Java and, you know, with Surf Travel Co. And that was the late 80s. And he went out to Penaeton Island. And then the following year, we booked out the boat, a group of us from Avoca. And that was unbelievable.
You were in Sydney, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, Central Coast.
Yeah.
Central Coast, New South Wales, just between Sydney and Newcastle. Yeah. Grew up surfing at Avoca.
Yeah. I like Avoca, it's a fantastic place.
Yeah.
Super cool.
So that was it. It was like, wow. And then the next year, I went to Bali for the first time. So that would have been about 1988, I think. 87 maybe. I was like, yeah, there's more to the world than Australia and surfing, you know, these reef breaks and that. And then it's like, then, yeah, after I got the job at Surf Travel in 93, I was working down at Mona Vale. My manager, Thomas Cook Mona Vale, was a mad surfer from Avalon, and he actually saw the ad and said, "Mate, have you seen this ad in the paper for this job at the surf travel company?" I went, "Are you trying to get rid of me?" He went, "Nah, but check it out." So I did, and it was manager of the surf travel company at Cronulla.
Yeah.
So I drove down there and met Paul King, and he was the pioneer at surf tourism, you know, colourful guy. And he was doing a lot of trips to G-Land, and that was before the Mentawais. That was, you know, before anyone had got boats in the Mentawais. So then, yeah, he was mainly doing Lombok Sumbawa charters, and he had a surf camp in Sumbawa at Periscopes and doing lots of G-Land. So I got the job, and he sent me to Indo for a month before I started. He goes, "Yeah, well, you got to go to G-Land. You got to do a boat charter." I was like, "Okay."
Nah.
And he was,
you know what you're selling.
That was unbelievable. And he was an entrepreneur. He was setting up a bungee jumping site. He had some bungalows in Kuta and set up a bungee jumping site there. And he had a lot of on the go. So he was always over there. So I was running the surf travel company, you know, pretty much, you know. And at age, what year was that? 93, age 24, I was appointed general manager of the surf travel company and had 3 years there. And yeah, it was a baptism of fire, you know. It was like I'd been a senior travel consultant, assistant manager at Thomas Cook, and then thrown in there. And I just found I had an affinity with marketing, you know, and dealing with the magazines and putting together promo trips and stories and designing ads. And I loved it.
Yeah.
It was great. And I wasn't as good as actually managing staff. That wasn't my strong point. I don't know. I was too friendly, I think. They didn't respect me enough. But you learn that. But at 24, it's hard.
Yeah,
bloody hell. When you're managing older staff.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had a good time. And, surf travel grew whilst I was there. And then decided to move to Queensland after we got married. So that was in 96 we moved to Queensland. Married in 95, honeymoon at Noosa, went, "Oh, Sunny Coast is awesome." Yeah, let's do that.
And then World Safaris, that's where you kicked it off.
Yeah. So then just didn't have enough money to set up my own agency at that stage. So went through Harvey World Travel through their license at Caloundra and started World Safaris. And first trip was, well, the first product we had was the Maldives, which was the Vindu boat, which was run by Lewis Perry and local guy from the Sunny Coast and Stewie Johnson, and they were running it. And they, Lewis was too busy to run it, so I ended up buying, it was called Maldives Safaris, so bought that off Lewis and turned it into World Safaris. And that was 97. Yeah, 97.
And that's when it all began.
So it's funny because, it's kind of... And then World Safaris, went gangbusters over the, next 20 years. And then I got out.
I'll get to that, but it must have made for some pretty, pretty cool family holidays, Joe.
I was definitely pretty lucky with Dad doing that job. Got to travel heaps of places. Yeah, probably my favourite's like Papua New Guinea up into Pira.
Yeah.
It's like a little right hand, nothing too heavy, but it's just fun.
And so was it when you went away, was it mainly the two of you or the family or?
Yeah, it was just the two of us when we'd go away, just like father-son trips, Dad would have like a bit of time off work, I'd be on school holidays or like end of the school term, and he'd be like, all right, let's go, let's pack your bags and go on a mission.
That must have been, because I was saying earlier, Sam and I got the opportunity to go away last year, and it was good, but I think the experience was unbelievable. But probably what made it even more special was, dare I say it, the bond between father and son, so much stronger for it. And we're kind of, obviously still my son, but we're always mates, but we're kind of even closer now, so...
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, Jai, Jai started surfing early, then kind of soccer took over, and then when he was about, I think he was about 12 maybe, went, I want to go surfing again.
How old are you now?
22.
Had
my birthday not long ago.
So, he would have been about 12, 13, and then just got so... besotted with it. He'd wake me up at 4:30 every morning, come on Dad, let's go. So we were doing the surf before school as well every
Oh, this is when we were at Boccarina.
Most days
we'd surf there heaps of the time.
I
got back into it when I was like 13, 14 and just loving it again. I didn't surf for like years.
Then we did that Maldives trip
on the Handu Farley. That was pretty awesome. Like some of my schoolmates, like my best mate and his family.
Oh, no, that was the next year.
Wait.
We did the first one. We went on Handu Farley and we had a couple of days at Lowy's. Yeah, with Patrizio.
And Nadia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a pretty awesome trip.
Yeah. But then the next year we did the father-son trip. We booked out a boat with father and son.
That was the main trip I remember.
That was incredible.
We got pumping.
It was
pumping
the whole week. It was probably the best waves I've had in the Maldives ever. And it was just the North and South Mali Atoll. And in that region, you've got like 10 waves accessible within 5 hours cruising. So we just surfed our guts out for a week. Ridiculous. It was a bit big for some of the guys initially, wasn't it? So we started,
but you improve as you go. That's the other thing I've found, when you go away, you're doing that much surfing and that
drove away from 8-foot Sultans, which is like, why are we driving away? But I know within 3 hours we could surf 5 to 6 foot.
Yeah,
absolutely flawless, user friendly. There's a left that's actually really heavy, like Tucky Joe's, so that was perfect for the guys that still wanted to charge. And then opposite that, there's a right-hander quarters that was just so user-friendly.
Pretty, I remember Tucky Joe's. That was pretty. It was pretty heavy. It's just like sucks up super super quickly, and you just have to commit. Otherwise, you're gonna eat shit. So.
Harrison Young was getting some good barrels.
So I mean that's interesting. You've built this business up. You got so many kind of special family moments, special trips, and then you decided to pull the pin and move on. Well, that must have been hard at first, and
Well, it was. I just think it was time. You get to a point, I guess, in you got to still love what you're doing. I'm a firm believer you got to love what you're doing in life. We only get one shot at it, you know. Mm. And it got to the point where it was just, it was stressful. There was a lot of juggling, you know. And, you know, after 19 years it was like, yeah. And, you know, I took on a good business partner and he, you know, when I was burnt out, you know, and I told him and I had an expression of interest from someone else to buy my share and John bought mine in the end. So he ended up, you know, with a great business and it was a good agreement and, you know, we both, you know, walked away happy and then, yeah, kind of just reinvented things over the next few years, you know. It was a bit weird initially.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit, you know, who am I? I'm not World Safaris anymore.
And you must have finished school around the same time and then you've got involved in super yachts.
Yeah, yeah.
What was this? Yeah, that's, you finished
2015. Yeah. Yeah, I finished school in 2015 and then, yeah, I wasn't too sure what I was going to do with myself.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, found this super yachting and then headed over to America and then, yeah, jumped on a super yacht over there.
Whereabouts in the States?
Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not terrible.
Yeah, not too bad though.
Terrible as a, yeah, late teen, early 20s over there. That would have been very hard to take.
Yeah, causing a ruckus, that's for sure.
Oh, is it, what was the typhoon that was coming through? What's the name of it? Anyway, it made the news and, you know, I'm obviously worried parents following, you know, our 18-year-old son. He's bunkered down in a house in Fort Lauderdale. And there's like, I think the
code red warnings.
Yeah, code red warnings, and they're saying, you know, you should evacuate. And Joe's like, yeah, it's all cool, Dad. We've just taped up the windows. We're gonna sit it out. It's like, really, really. Fortunately, it veered slightly north to Orlando and didn't take them out. But
And then...
Yeah. So I was jumped on a boat in Fort Lauderdale and then was living in America for like 6 months. Wasn't really surfing too much, to be honest, just on the working grind, getting some money. And then, yeah, the boat I was working on ended up going to Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. So we did like a two-month passage through the Pacific Ocean. So we went, Fort Lauderdale, through the Panama Canal, through the Gulf of Mexico, stayed in Cabo San Lucas for like 2 weeks and then headed over to Hawaii and Honolulu.
Fantastic.
And then, yeah, went to Guam, checked out the army base in Guam.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, ended in Hong Kong where I lived for another 3-4 months. Not surfing again, just working. But, yeah, still always thinking about surfing and...
And then the call of, you know, so how did the business evolve, you know, like to get you back into the fold and bring the two of you kind of, I suppose, working together? So.
Yeah, well, I got my very good friend, Dr. Sobar, owns the boat and he's owned Handu. They built Handu back in 2002, I think it was, so he contacted me and said the boats hasn't operated for 2 years, we just got it sitting in, well, they've got two boats, they've got the Hundu and the Hundu Farley. So the Hundu is 90 foot and the Hundu Farley is 70 foot. Both boats haven't operated for a couple of years. They just decided to, you know, didn't have an agent basically, and they were doing the occasional trip, but because they had other businesses basically. Yeah. They're very successful, this company. They call themselves Radiant Heat and they've got other businesses. So anyway, a good friend of his, Brigadier General Zuhair, retired from the Maldivian army, and he was like ex-Coast Guard, and Zuhair's like, oh, I need to do something, and he was chatting to Sobar, and Sobar said, well, why don't you get the boats back up and running, you know, they're just sitting there, and why don't you get involved, come involved, and I know someone in Australia who might be able to help you, so... they contacted me and said, oh, you know, we want to get the boats running. And Zahair's and I was like, oh, God, boats again. I don't know, you know, it's just a lot of work. But then once he explained Zahair's involvement and his expertise and status in the community, I went, well, yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it kind of all made sense. It kind of just like fell into place because, yeah, because when he saw Words Fires, he had to wait a couple of years to get back into it.
Three.
Right. So he was, I think your drive has like come back now.
Yeah.
Right. And then
I kind of put it all on I did my disability support work that I still do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still do 60 hours a fortnight and, you know, got other stuff that I'm doing. But then I was like, oh, well, Jai, you know, it was like, makes perfect sense. Jai's in the super yachting industry.
Yeah.
So I contacted Jai and went, mate, what do you reckon? Yeah. You want to get involved?
Yeah, because I just finished up on a boat in Greece doing like charter work. That's like, it's kind of the same concept as what we're doing right now. So you like rent out the boat for a week.
Yeah.
And then so instead of paying maybe like, I don't know, like $2,000 for a trip.
Yeah.
US, you're paying $200,000 US for a 1 week trip.
Wow.
So it's like, I'm trying to like convert like super yachting into like luxury sort of boat charter style.
Yeah.
And with me living on board, I can use my like experience to like help like push it forward and see what happens.
Yeah.
And it's, well, it's so good having you know, particularly family, but having a Westerner.
Well, it is also there. Having family is good because they've got a vested interest and you know they're going to do everything.
And it hasn't just been, you know, it wasn't just like Jai's bought in, basically. We're 50-50, so it's a business. You know, we are family, but we're running it, you know, as a partnership. And but having Jai on board and physically over there to oversee the, you know, the preventative maintenance and all of those things to make sure stuff doesn't, you know, go wrong and, you know, keep up the quality controls vital.
It's all about the quality control because a lot of the boats over there, they don't have any Western influence.
Mm-hmm.
They just, all the other agencies, they just like rent the boat out and they just send people on it, whatever the condition is.
Mm.
They don't really care. They just want to make money.
Mm.
But we're more personalized and we're just like, definitely pushing the personalized, you're gonna get what you pay for. And like honestly, because I'm living there, like
it's your home,
it's my home.
Yeah.
And I want to like, I want to have fun with all the guests that come on the boat, and that's the main like point.
I suppose if you're living there, you're also, you know, if there was, you know, certainly I know if I was living there, you wouldn't want problems because then you're living through those problems and so forth. So you're going to keep on top of things. So that was one of the questions I was going to ask because I suppose through the years with Smorgasbord, we've heard mixed reports, and it's not kind of getting too down in the nitty gritty, but a lot of people said, hey, look, it all depends on the actual boat and the crew.
Because
it's a lot of the time it's the crew that can set the tone for it, and, you know, like... Some people want to go and have surf and have fun, but some people, you know, maybe go a little bit over the top. And
well, it's the next best thing to being an owner-operator. I've always found, like, in, say, the Sumatra and Mentawai, is the guys that are owner-operators and are on board and, you know, involved, you know,
the quality
is there, the vested interest is there. We're fortunately, we don't need to be owning the boats, but you know, having Jai there and then working with Zuhair, it's you know, it's too good to be true, really. I guess the team that
and again, it's important to talk about the team and kind of thing, the kind of people you got on board, because you notice with the chef and things like that. So
Gopal.
Gopal. He's from India.
Mm-hmm.
He can cook a mean curry, and he cooks some like masuni. It's like the local sort of dish. It's like coconut and what is it?
Yeah, it's tuna, coconut, some spices. It's fairly basic, and he makes up this roti bread. You have it for breakfast. It's beautiful. Josie had been to the Maldives before, Josie Prendergast, and that's the first thing she asked me, oh, can we get Masuni? And I said, of course, my favourite breakfast too.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then Gopal ended up doing like a little cooking show on board the trip and coming out and demonstrating, but yeah, I mean, he'll, you know, if you catch a big fish, he'll fill it up and have sashimi within minutes, you know, awesome. As well. He's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, those guys are incredible. And the young crew that we've got now, they're just, yeah, they're very enthusiastic and eager to learn. And they're, you know, we've got them nice uniforms and they're proud, you know, they're proud and they're really excited that Jai's coming over to be on board with them too. And, you know, it's just going to be a really nice vibe on board.
And the boat looks incredible. It's massive because I think it was, did I read it was not 90 foot?
90 foot.
Yeah.
And just a big bugger.
Yeah, it is a big bugger. And it's got like the big open sun deck and it's got like
three levels or something.
Yeah, three levels. It's pretty awesome. Like that top deck, you can just go sit up there, have a few beers in the afternoon, just while you're probably cruising back to the anchorage for the night.
That's the sunset deck, hey?
Yeah, that's definitely the sunset
deck. It's the party deck. At the end of the day when you've surfed out and you're coming in, you know, in the tinny at dusk and the one of the crew members hands you a coldie and you go straight up to the sunset deck and have the speaker playing music and it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean, what's a up to 10 people, is that right? On that
10 to 12, yep, maximum. Yep. We're trying to limit it to 10, you know, to keep the group size down.
No, I think 10, no, wait, 12.
12, well, there's 7 twin cabins downstairs, but, you know, the surf guides, so we employ Maldivian local surf guides, guys that have been, you know, doing it for a long time. And then we've got Jai on board too, so we give them a cabin each, and then we use 5 cabins for the guests. But occasionally, like we've got a bigger group coming on in April to do a group of 12. So,
And each cabin, I think, has got a queen bed or double bed and a single or something like that. Is that right?
It does. Yeah, that's right. So you've got a double and a above bunk single.
Yep.
So you could, I mean, you could even have mum and dad and a small child in there if you wanted, or so you've got good for a couple, or if you've got two fellas, they draw straws. It's the big bottom bunk or the small bunk, but they've all got their own ensuite bathrooms, hot water, air conditioned. So compared to, you know, a lot of boats that surfers are used to in the Mentawais and that, which is usually like dormitory style accommodation and one bathroom on the whole boat.
Yeah,
you know, this is luxury. You're getting your own ensuite bathroom, which for couples is ideal.
Yeah, definitely. We're looking to
get couples, you know, because so many couples go to the Maldives and just go to a resort, but they don't see the rural Maldives, you know, they don't get to the village islands, they don't see the deserted sandbank islands or snorkeling, and, you know, they're in a big resort environment.
And I mean, it's good to touch on that because, you know, it's not always, particularly if you're going with your partner may surf, but it's not always about surfing. So there's a whole heap of, you know, I'd say fishing, snorkeling.
100%.
Yeah, there's heaps of activities. We've got a stand-up paddleboard so you can just go chill around, float over to the islands. And then the surf guide, Bongo, he mainly does snorkeling trips now. So he'll find like the nicest reefs to go snorkel and check it out, and it's definitely not just surfing. He's like, I surf, but I love surfing. Surfing's everything. But
I love surfing, but I don't, you know, when we go away, we don't surf the whole time. And particularly the family doesn't want to surf the whole time. It's like, you know, it's fine if you're going with your mate, but if you're going with partner or kids, they're like, well, what else can we do?
So, exactly. Yeah, there's so much stuff to do. Maldives is got like, you don't just have to surf.
That's what's exciting me now, actually, about going over there and not just surfing and, you know, going to the places where the whale shark products are on the benches.
Yeah.
You know, checking all that out and yeah, going up to some of the more remote islands and just, you know, seeing the way they still live, you know, and you know, the basically still live a very simple lifestyle up in the villages.
Yeah. I think I read that too, because you do 7 and 10 nights, is that right? And like...
Oh, we can do whatever duration, yeah. But we kind of promote 7 nights for your Mali Atoll charters, which is that region I mentioned that's got about 10 breaks within 5 hours.
Yeah.
Or the longer trips if you want to get to the more remote regions. And that'll require like an overnight crossing to one of the atolls and then cruising around either the, you know, the central or northern atolls. There's some breaks up in the north, you know. And we can do stealth missions on those too. So we'll keep that kind of not a rigid itinerary, so that you know, people might book a 10-night remote atolls trip 6 months out, and then we get there and we go, hey, the swell and wind is going to be ideal for this particular break that doesn't work very often. Let's just shoot up there, and you know, so we can do that.
And I suppose there's not the tendency to stay at one break. You'll just, you know, it's just, I suppose, fly by the seat of your pants according to the wind and swell directions and things like that. You may stay somewhere for a few days, or you might be going each day a different spot. Is that...
Oh, for sure. And it's based on the, I guess, the surf needs of the group. You know, they might want to be, you know, if it is 6 to 8 foot in peak season up in the main areas, yeah, you can escape to lesser you know, swell. You can
do it. Use a friendly wave.
More user friendly waves.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's lots of options, and often in a place where you will be, you'll anchor the boat in the channel, and then you've got the speed boat to move. So you'll anchor the boat at, you know, probably the break that the majority of the people want to surf, and then like that place I mentioned before, you know, you've got the heavier left hander, just jump in the speed boat. Whoever wants to go surf that, he'll just leave the speed boat there. Yeah, so. You can split up the groups. So
you like at Cokes and Chickens.
Yeah, exactly.
You can park right in the middle of the channel, and then speedboat can take you either left or the right. And you've got the island right there, so for all your non-surfers, you can just go hang out there. That island's actually, you can rent jet skis and go jet skiing. Yeah, there's heaps of stuff to do.
Yeah.
Endless activities.
I mean, I know you guys are involved with the Maldives, but I mean, what's the main appeal for those who haven't, you know, say the Maldives compared to, you know, because you've repped everything, you've done India through to Sri Lanka to Samoa and so forth, you know, what's the standout, I suppose, what's the main appeal to you for the, you know?
Oh, I think
because I haven't been, I just look at perception.
The most user-friendly, high performance waves that I've ever experienced, basically. And you're not in fear of losing all the skin off your body, and you know, if you blow a takeoff, you know, it's not, they're generally deep water takeoffs, and you're not seeing the reef drain off in front of you as you're taking off, like several spots in, you know, Indo and that.
Yeah.
And once you take off and, you know, draw a nice line, you've got this 100 metre to 200 metre long wall ahead of you just to go to town on, you know. And there is barrel sections, but there's a lot of, you know, high performance, just get your turns down pat, get your cutties in.
I mean, I haven't been, the perception for me, though, there seems to be that variety, like, as you said, and like a lot of my mates, we're not, you know, not everyone's a shortboarder, not everyone's a longboarder, you know. But the crew that usually go away, one is nothing but longboard. That's what he does. He's a big guy. Sure. He doesn't ride a shortboard.
Yep.
And that's what it appeals, that I think, oh, well, there's a shortboard wave, or you can take a mini Simmons on this one, or you can go finless like you did, longboard.
Never-ending options.
Bit of everything, really. Yeah. I mean, you can certainly, you know, Cokes is one of the best barrels around, you know, 6 foot pumping day at Cokes, you're going to get shacked off your nut. But opposite that, you know, you've got Chickens, but Chickens offers a pretty good barrel as well.
Yeah,
I mean, all of them.
Yeah. It just depends on the size and the swell. It can be a longboard wave, it can be a shortboard wave, it can be a finless, try to do some 360s.
But, you know, by the end of your week there, or probably even after a couple of days, you're surfing the best you've ever surfed, basically, because you've got, you know, mechanical waves that are so user-friendly. So you're going, oh, I haven't done a top turn like that in a while. I haven't, you know, done a full roundhouse or, you know, got barreled or whatever. But by the end of it, you're really happy with your surf level, you know. I mean, there's guys that I think do, and you see it everywhere, they're on the wrong boards, you know, and you see frustrated lower intermediate surfers and they're not on enough foam, you know, and a lot of European guys, they're on the latest, you know, whatever, you know, 27 litres and they're not catching waves and they're getting frustrated. Exactly. Mate, what are you riding there? And, you know, I talk to some guys and go, you want to go on my board just, you know, I'm 33, 34 litres, you know, or something. And it's like, and they're, oh, really? Okay, yeah, I can actually catch waves on this. And, yeah, it's interesting. But you do, and it does have, I guess, because it is so user-friendly and it's central to the world, you're getting people from all around the world flying to the Maldives now to go surfing. But in saying that, a lot of them are very average surfers and a lot of them boat operators don't know where to go, so they're just following the other boats going to the main breaks. But, you know, you can dodge that. You can dodge the crowds and you can even if it is crowded and it's 6 foot, you might have a bunch of low-level surfers fighting over the peak because that's kind of, I don't know, it's this funny European mentality I've found with it's almost a macho thing. You got to try and push each other deeper and, you know, and they push each other way too deep and they blow their, can't make it around the first section.
Yeah.
And you sit down the line a little bit and you get, you know, you get a heap of waves, you know, and it's if you're a, but in saying that, even those busy breaks when they're only 3 foot, we can duck somewhere else and avoid that crowd factor, you know, because no one wants to surf in a crowd.
No. Oh, look, I'd much rather surf a lesser break.
You don't want to surf
by myself or with one or two others.
We're always going to be endeavouring to, and even if that means, you know, the captain and the surf guide will be up at, you know, first light and we will move, you know, strategic manoeuvres in the dark to get our guests surfing, you know, at least for an hour on their own, in the morning.
That's definitely the goal.
Yeah.
Be the first ones there, have coffee, have a surf, and then
get
some food, and then do it all again, all day, every
day. So, and it would be remiss of me not to ask, because everyone knows my obsession with with sharks and everything. I'm obsessed. I've always got to ask the question. So, I'm just curious. I mean, obviously, there's sharks everywhere. There's sharks on the sunny coast. They're everywhere. It's not like it's, dare I say, the Reunion Islands or Ballina, for that matter. But, you know, you must see them every now and then.
Well, you see reefies, you know, if you go snorkeling, you see reefies, black tip, white tip, reef sharks. You know, there's probably the occasional tiger shark. I've never seen one.
And you've been there quite a few
times. Yeah, I've never seen one. No white sharks, obviously. But, yeah, touch wood, it's not renowned for, you know, being a scary sharky destination.
No, it's not at all. It's just my obsession. I always ask the question. I'm just always, hey, look, I surf in Dunedin. But it just, just always in the back of your mind.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, I'll surf, as you say, locally, you know, early morning or, you know, a murky water beach break and go, you know.
We had a big one swim past us just down at Ann Street not that long ago, so they're everywhere.
Yeah, well, I think about them much more here in Australia than I don't ever actually think about them in the Maldives.
Yeah.
You know, it never enters your mind. Yeah. Shit, this seems like a sharky place, you know.
Well, the water looks so crystal clear. Yeah,
you'll see it coming from a mile
away. So I suppose what are the next plans, you know, with the boat? It's you're happy with that? There's no plans to enter back into the fray with, you know, doing more? And,
No. Running a boat, we aim to get the other boat up and running possibly next year.
That's definitely the goal.
Little steps. Well, we'll definitely get the Handu Farley up and running.
I reckon 2021, end of it. Hopefully it should be done by then.
But we want to take, you know, obviously we were, you know, late to market, I guess, for 2020. We only basically started the company and promoting in like December last year, and it's only February now. But the word's getting out there, and, you know, we're doing the, you know, we've got some good content, and we're, you know, obviously the boat's looking better than ever. You know.
And seasons kind of thing. So I'm curious with, you know, it's funny, like even, you know, going to somewhere like Bali and all that kind of thing. I know there's, you know, those middle months, it's where it's heaving. But I know when we went over, I think we must have gone March, which tended to be, well, I suppose tail end of wet season or whatever, and people said, oh, there won't be much surf. And there was more than enough surf. And I was like, I was quite happy, you know. I tend to go, well, I don't really want to go. I think the older I get, the more chicken I get.
Oh, well, it's the Indian Ocean. Look, it's going to, there's waves all year, you know. Obviously, your peak swell periods, you know, are your, you know, during the southeast trades in, well, this is in Indo. Is, you know, you've got your April through to September, October. But yeah, those fringe months.
Still enough, yeah.
And the same, it's the same with the Maldives. So there's pretty much waves, all year, except I probably wouldn't, you know, December probably is the, December, January would be the least consistent.
Yeah.
But in saying that, there's still waves. There's waves every day.
And that's right. It's like, there's waves all the time. So just
talking to the locals that live at Cokes and Chickens, and even the boys down in the south at Tiger Stripes, and they're surfing every day. You know, I've never, well, I've never seen it flat. Like and it might be, you know, you'll look at it and it'll go, oh, it's only, you know, 1 foot and doesn't look that great. It'll change with the tide and the wind will back off. And then, so, you know, you're always encouraging, go and get out there, have a splash. You know, a 1-2 foot day in the Maldives is better than a, you know, 1-2 foot day at home probably. So, and then it'll change and all of a sudden it's 3 foot and glassy and everyone's having a ball. So, yeah, I mean, for the lower level surfers, we're, you know, February, March, April. April can be a smoking month, actually. So February, March, and then, you know, October, late October through to November. We just, the trip that we just did with Josie Prendergast and Laura and Oscar Langburn and Sean Cansdell and those guys, that was late October, early November.
Yeah, that
you've
was
seen
cool.
those images.
Yeah, definitely.
And there was no one around. So,
yeah,
shouldn't,
we scored.
Shouldn't be telling too many people, should we?
Wow, book with arm top and you can get it all.
But, yeah, no, it's... and as you say, yeah, if you want to surf 6 to 8 foot pumping Maldives, book to go in the middle of the year, you know, and, you know, July, August, September, even, you know, April, May, it can be absolutely smoking in the best waves you're ever going to get. But that's not for everyone.
I suppose that's the whole thing. Like you said, that's catering for, you know, a range.
A whole range. You know, we're certainly not saying we're just hardcore chasing the biggest, best barrels. Sure, if you want to find the biggest, best barrels, we'll find them for you. But, yeah, if you want to bring your partner and, you know, find some super fun longboard waves, definitely do that, you know. It's
And it kind of, you'd also mentioned that, you know, that whole, I suppose, bespoke surf travel and all that. Now, I'm just keen to get your take on that. So it's interesting because I think... You know, if you look at it from even surfboard manufacturing, people are moving away from that mass produced. It's now about, you know, right down to surfboards, custom made, tailor made to the individual, and you're kind of more or less doing that with surf travel.
Oh, and I guess that's the beauty of just having one or two products, you know, rather than a multitude of them. You can, you know, and having Jai there,
yeah,
and Kernels there.
It's as personalized as you can possibly get for a surf charter boat, I reckon. Because, I'm pushing the point that I'm living there, but it is. It's my home, so, and I want everyone that comes to my home to have a good time. And yeah, get as many waves as possible, find the most remote places to go explore, or just
find out what their favorite drink is and get the barman to make them a great cocktail.
Yeah. It's as bespoke as you can possibly think.
Even prior to the trip, you know, getting a profile on each guest. And you know, one of the questions is, what's your dream wave, you know, and what's your favourite drink?
Yeah,
you know, so that we can in advance have a bit of an idea and do some planning, and closer to the trip, look at the swell models, and, you know, if it is going to be, if they all, you know, in their profiles, you can see that they're longboarders that don't want to be, you know, in amongst 8 foot, you know, if there's a mega swell coming, we'll deploy the boat somewhere else.
Yeah.
And what is the setup? So flights from Australia into, you know, what's the setup with getting to the boat?
Flights from Australia. I book my flight, so I'm going in March, and that's, Air Asia just to Kuala Lumpur, and then you land in Mali, and then normally we've got a driver waiting at the airport, and then he picks us up and takes us to Hula Mali, which is like the new man-made artificial island that they've created, just because the population was just like expanding way too much.
It's the new capital. Well, yeah, it's an extension of the capital, Mali.
It's an extension, and they're just extending it even more. It's going to be like mini city soon, but that's only like central Mali. You fly in, we pick you up at Mali, we take you to the speedboat, then we take you to the
boat.
Yeah, and then once all the guests are on the boat, we literally head straight out to.
Cool.
That's literally probably from landing, and Singapore Airlines is the other option via Singapore. Good flights, and the flights are pretty affordable. Like, I mean, you can get there for about $1,000 return from Australia.
That's good. Good.
And the good surfboard allowances on those flights. Literally within 90 minutes of arriving, you're on the boat and having a welcome drink. Whether you arrive in the evening, if you arrive in the evening, basically you sleep in the boat in the harbour that night, and then first light the next morning, head off, and you can be at the first surf break within 2 hours. So probably in the water by 7. Singapore Islands, and I think some of the Air Asia flights arrive in the evening. So you're surfing first morning, and then if you're a group and you're arriving, I think Singapore Islands have another flight that arrives at lunchtime, so you can be on the boat by 1 o'clock and have something to eat and
have an arvo surf
on day one.
Definitely.
And then on the last day, you get a surf in too, generally, depending on your flight time. But I guess that's the other thing, with not being as rigid with, particularly with sole use groups, not being as rigid with start and like check in and check out times, you know, type thing. It's flexible. We're even offering like a bonus night if you arrive in the night before. We're not classifying that as a night, because literally you're just sleeping on the boat anyway in the harbour. So say for a 7-night trip, you're actually on board the boat for 8 nights, and we're just giving you that extra night on board so that you can then get full surf days up until the end. I guess that's the beauty of just not, and that's why I don't want to have a lot of product to promote. You've got me recorded saying that now.
10 years later.
I'm happy with life, you know. I guess the juggle of life I've got, you know, doing the disability support and then this, and you know, I mean, Jai'll, you know, I guess if Jai wants to take island hop to the next levels, you know, but I think running two boats is certainly going to keep him busy enough
for now. Got to dream big.
That's it. You never know.
Well, I hope you enjoyed my chat with Sean and Jai Livings of Island Hop Maldives. If that hasn't got you dreaming and planning for a trip over there, I don't know what will. Remember, if you wish to read more about Island Hop or other interesting grassroots surf personalities, get yourself a home delivery subscription of Smorgasborder for just $25 a year. Go to smorgasborder.com.au. That's smorgasborder.com.au. Catch you soon, Smorgasborders. Stay safe and get wet.